mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, when this
it's 2024.
Airs, it's 2024.
Yeah.
We're recording this we're still recording in 2023,
yeah,
unfortunately.
From the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't even know what it's like. Flying cars, probably. That's the main thing.
Yes.
Flying cars, yeah, in 2024.
I'm sure it'll be a grand year. The turning of a calendar page changes everything.
Yeah. This will be... 2024 is going to be... I'm sorry, I'm trying to be optimistic. It's going to be a nightmare.
I know that you have some lofty resolutions.
For myself.
I think
I will do better, but I think for America, it's going to be a nightmare.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we have an election year.
Yeah.
Trump is going to be our president.
Well, he won't take office until 2025.
Right.
And then it'll be 2025 until he dies and passes office on to his son, right?
Yeah, we'll devolve
it's the
into
end of democracy.
Complete fascism and... yeah, the earth will get too hot for human beings.
In 2024?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's going to happen real quick.
Honestly, bring it on. No, I'm joking. That's terrible.
This isn't a podcast about doom and gloom.
No, it's not a podcast about climate change or fascism or the end of democracy or the rise of nationalistic xenophobic populism or, you know, climate refugees and migration. It's not any of the many things that I think about all day, every day, and wish I could stop. No, in fact, it is a podcast about the television shows Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We're doing important things with our time left on this earth.
Yes.
We watch an episode of each show every week, and we recap, compare, contrast over the other fun segments. We are on to season 6, episode 14 of both shows. Season 6, episode 14 of Friends is called The One Where Chandler Can't Cry. And season 6, episode 14 of How I Met Your Mother is called Last Words. We're going to put a pin in the last words. I'm going to pin them up on a board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come back to them later. And we're going to start with season 6, episode 14 of Friends, The One Where Chandler Can't Cry. So we pick up where he left off. Rachel is in Monica and Chandler's apartment spying on...
Russ's apartment.
Or trying to spy on Russ's apartment, but the shades are still closed. Joey comes over to steal food. And then Monica and Chandler come out of the bedroom. And then, like, Rachel says something about, like, another couple in the building should close their drapes or should close their shades. And, like, Chandler's, like... weirdly, like, grossed out by a sex swing.
Yeah,
it's very kink-shaming.
Yeah, they're grossed out by a sex swing.
Yeah. These guys are dorks.
They're dorks, yeah.
I mean, so are the How I Met Your Mother people, except Robin. But they're dorks.
Yeah.
I guess Robin is, in some ways, the Phoebe of
the group.
She's the one who's not a dork.
Yeah, in many ways.
So let's see. So that's the cold open. Next day at the perk, Rachel shows up and kind of like tries to be like friendly, but it's clearly like grilling him about her date with his date with Phil or Phil, Jill. I looked at the word perk, starts with a P, right? And I said Phil. Turns out the drapes only closed because he was showing her slides, which Rachel's relieved about. But then he reveals that they're going out again on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But Rachel finally, like, flips out, and Ross is like, okay, I won't see her again. And Rachel's like, you have to call her right now. And then back at the apartment, all the other, I guess, the other friends. It's Monica Chandler, Joey.
And Rachel.
No, and Phoebe.
And Phoebe.
Because Rachel's at the park with Ross. Right. They're watching E.T., and everyone except Chandler is crying.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Traditionally, I'm a pretty easy cry at movies. Although I say that now, and I don't even remember the last time I cried at a movie. Like, I guess I used to be an easy cry. I don't know if I am anymore. Like, last night I watched All of Us Strangers, which is an Andrew Hay movie, which means it's going to make me cry. Except it didn't. But it's very emotional. But maybe I'm dying inside.
Well, spoiler, we both cried for this How I Met Your Mother episode.
Let's move on to that.
You're not dead inside.
Let's talk about that later. Yeah. But I will say, I'm going to be the contrarian jerk here.
Okay.
And say, E.T. does not make me cry. And also, E.T. is a lesser Spielberg movie. Not one of my favorites.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't have an attachment to it like a lot of people in my generation do.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have, in the sense that I have appreciation for Steven Spielberg as a filmmaker, I have an appreciation for a lot of the technique that goes into it. Mm-hmm. But I also, I'm not that attached to E.T. The structure of the movie is very sort of episodic in a way that I don't think, like, adds to, like, emotional buildup, because it's very much, this happened, then this happened, you know?
Yeah.
But I like... what's her name? Dee Wallace? Is that the mom?
Mm-hmm.
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Drew Barrymore. It's got things going for it.
Little Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Someone
told... The part where E.T. gets drunk is actually very funny.
It was basically an ad for Reese's Pieces. That was like how Reese's Pieces came to be.
Well, it's like a landmark in, if this is something you want to celebrate, product placement in movies.
Yes.
Because I think they wanted M&Ms and M&Ms said no. Which is the dumbest decision ever, because they used Reese's Pieces instead, and Reese's Pieces sales like skyrocketed because of it.
Yeah. Funny joke on Twitter. I wish I can give credit where it's due, but someone joked that what if they went to E.T.'s planet and all the other aliens had clothes on? So E.T.'s just like a little perv.
Back to the Reese's thing. It sort of illustrates that movies don't really have the cultural power they used to.
Yeah.
You know? Because everything's so, like, in the post-internet age, everything's so, like, niche. Everything exists in its own layer, its own striation. I don't think a product placement could result in that kind of boom anymore.
Unless it's a complete movie. About it, you
like
know,
Barbie, yeah.
Like Barbie or Air or Cheetos or whatever.
Yeah, Flamin' Hot. Yeah,
Ferrari. Like they're all.
Yeah, although I don't think. I mean, having seen Ferrari, I don't know that.
That's, but you know what
like,
I meant.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Yes. Tetris. There was a
Tetris movie. I didn't see
Super
that.
Mario.
There was a BlackBerry movie that people say is really good. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're definitely missing even more like product origin movies. It's been a weird. Trend this year. But another thing I was going to say about Power of Movies that I was just thinking about in It Happened One Night, one of the earliest and greatest romantic comedies of all time, there's a part where Clark Gable is getting undressed and he like takes off his suspenders and takes off his tie and he unbuttons his shirt and he's not wearing an undershirt. And like sales of undershirts plummeted after that movie came out because men always wore undershirts. I still wear undershirts.
Yeah.
That movie was so popular and movies had that much cachet that people were like, oh, Clark Gable doesn't wear an undershirt. I don't need to.
Wouldn't this would be a good VP episode of like product placement in
Battleship
film.
Retention, my other podcast. About
yeah.
Movies. Yeah. A product placement episode would be good.
Like
yeah.
I feel like in Home Alone, like he drinks Pepsi products.
Yeah. But there are also movies like Josie and the Pussycats. The movie is like, clogged with products, but none of them paid for it, you know, because it's like a satire.
Right, like in Wayne's World.
Yeah. Yeah. None of them paid or got paid, whatever, it was all satire. Similarly, in Flight, the Denzel Washington is an alcoholic movie, they didn't do the thing of like making up fake brands.
Mm-hmm.
They had him drink real brands, but you'll notice if you watch the movie, he never drinks the same brand of any alcohol twice in the movie. Every scene, it's a different thing, but they're all real brands. Yeah, you're right. I could do a Battleship. Tyler and I could do a Battleship Retention episode about product placement. That'd be very fun.
Yeah.
I got to write that down.
Yeah.
Okay. We're way off. Where was I? So Chandler like never cries. Monica gets out an album of childhood photos and they don't make him cry. But my like, I know this is like nitpicky, but I feel like a guy like Chandler doesn't keep
Monica
a photo album. Where did Monica get all these?
maybe Chandler's mom brought it over or something.
Okay. Okay. So Monica has a photo album of Chandler's childhood. Still doesn't make him cry. Down at the Perk, Phoebe meets a fan and gives an autograph. Mm-hmm. There's a funny bit where she tells Joey, like, take care of that guy. He's a fan. And Joey thinks that he's a fan of him, the fan of Dr. Drake Ramore.
Yeah.
But it turns out he's a fan of Phoebe Buffay, the porn star.
Yes.
Who's appeared in such movies as Sex, Toy Story 2, Lawrence of Arabia, and Inspect Her Gadget.
Yes.
Lawrence of Arabia is always one of the go-tos. I feel like I've heard that a bajillion times whenever people are making fun of, like, porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and I have so many from working
we have
at
so, yeah.
working at yeah, Forrest Gump, the Joy Fuck Club.
Yeah. Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, Everybody Does Raymond.
Yeah. Wet Dreams May Come.
Wet Dreams May Come. There was also, I remember, because the porn store I worked at had both a straight and a gay section. In fact, the gay section was, like, because we were so close to Boys Town in Chicago, was most of our bread and butter. And when the Reese Witherspoon movie Sweet Home Alabama came out, we got both Sweet Ho Alabama and Sweet Homo Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, yeah, another one of my favorite gay ones was A Beautiful Behind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So many. And then there were the super lazy ones, like The Sex Matrix is one that we had. All right, so Jill and Rachel meet at the Perk, and Jill's bummed that Ross called off her date. Rachel tries to set her up with her coworker Bob. She should set her up with Kenny the copy boy, right?
Yes.
You know, the best way to get over someone is to get under Kenny the copy boy.
Basically, yeah. not Bob the random HR guy.
HR guy, yeah. Then Rachel admits that she told Ross or asked Ross or whatever to call it off, and Jill is pissed, and there's a bit about was it Rachel or Jill who was jealous of Princess Caroline?
Rachel.
And because she lives, in,
she
a
lives
castle?
In a castle.
Okay. Okay. I feel so, like, stupid that I never put together Princess Caroline of Monaco and Princess Carolyn, the character from BoJack Horseman.
Oh.
Is it supposed to be a reference, or is it just a coincidence?
I think it's just a coincidence.
Okay. Princess Carolyn, not Princess Caroline.
Yeah.
All right. So Joey bought a porno that Phoebe is in that he found at the adult bookstore, and Ross happened to be at the adult bookstore when he was there. And he brings it, and it's called Buffay the Vampire Lair, and it's even, like, in the Buffy font, kind of, which
yes,
I liked.
Yes.
But then everyone wants to watch it, and Joey doesn't. So does that mean, did Joey buy it to keep other people from being able to watch it? Because why else would he have bought it and then be like, well, we can't watch it?
I think he wanted to show his friends.
Show, maybe, like, prove it,
yeah.
But not watch it. That makes sense. Okay, I get it. Okay. By the way, I wouldn't want to watch it either. Everyone but Joey is like, we got to watch this. I'm with Joey. I would not want to watch.
No, Joey's a good friend.
Yeah. But then they realize it's Ursula. And Joey immediately is like, oh, I can watch that. Because they notice a tattoo that Phoebe doesn't have.
Yeah.
So they realize it's Ursula, Phoebe's sister.
You're looking at her ankle?
Yeah. Joey's. But, and then, I don't know if Phoebe walks in. I don't know if this is in your funniest moments or not.
It's not.
But she says, hey, everybody. Oh, my God, what am I doing?
Oh, actually, yeah.
Oh, you did have it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how that scene ends. After the commercial break, we come back. Chandler's on the couch reading Chicken Soup for the Soul, and he's embarrassed when Monica walks in because he's, like, trying to make himself cry.
Yeah.
And then Monica says it doesn't matter, and she plays out all these scenarios when this happens in our life.
Yeah.
And you don't cry, it's okay. But, like, she really wants him to admit that he would cry, and then she gets mad at him for being a robot. Oh, man, I'm so... there's a ring in Ross's doorbell, and he thinks it's... kids ringing his doorbell and running, which is very funny because didn't it remind you of Kramer on
it
Seinfeld?
It did remind me. Yeah, we just watched the episode.
Yeah, where the hall urchins are egging
Yeah.
Kramer. What else? But it's Jill at the door, and she wants to watch some slides. Rachel looks across Ross's apartment, sees Jill. Jill sees Rachel, and she kind of, like, winks or smiles and closes the shades.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Phoebe goes to see Ursula and tell her to stop doing porn, and she doesn't want to. It's a funny scene because they're literally shooting porn in Ursula's apartment at the time she gets there.
Yeah.
At Ross's apartment, Jill is like, why don't we have some drinks? Rachel calls Ross and is like, Jill's just doing this to make me jealous. And then Ross is like defensive, like, what? You don't think she's into me?
Yeah.
Shut up, Ross. Jill makes a move and kisses Ross. At the perk, Phoebe tells Joey that she made it so that Ursula's check says Phoebe Buffay will come to her.
Yeah.
Which is great. But then a guy recognizes her and Phoebe like shames him in front of his girlfriend, like, for watching porn.
Yeah.
What is with these people?
I know. It's the writers, like, being, like, weirdly moralistic and square.
Yeah. Puritans.
Puritans, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Ross then comes over and he's like, hey, Jill kissed me and I kissed her back and Rachel's mad, but then Ross is like, but then I stopped. And he has this whole thing about how he's like, I knew that if I kept kissing Jill or if it went any further, I would never have a chance of being with Rachel again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we ever will, but I don't want to close that door or whatever. Yeah. And it's a kind of a sweet moment. And then Chandler cries. Chandler finally cries at the end.
Yeah.
And then the tag at the end, Jill is leaving and everyone kind of tells her off.
Yeah.
And then Chandler starts crying and he says, I opened a gate or whatever, which again is like Seinfeld, the same episode,
actually. Oh, my God, you're right.
Same episode.
Weird.
When
this is right out of the Seinfeld playbook.
Yeah, when Jerry's dating Lori Loughlin.
Yeah.
And she at first wants to see him get mad, but then he, like, can't stop his emotions.
Yeah.
And he says, what is this salty discharge?
Oh,
that's it. Yeah. So that's the episode. Any other stray observations before we move on to funniest moments?
No.
Okay, first funniest moment.
Oh, I guess when they were, like, talking about the porn, like, wouldn't it occur to them right away that she has a twin sister?
And it occurred to me right away.
Me too. Yeah. I would think that it would occur to them.
Yeah, maybe they just forget Ursula exists.
Maybe.
Even though Joey was into Ursula.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
And then Phoebe pretends to be Ursula and
which is
him.
Why he finally is willing to watch, because he's like, oh, score, it's Ursula.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, been there, done that.
Yeah.
No, that's awful. When Joey shows up with the porn and Chandler goes, you didn't get more movies than are going to have us reaching for the tissues all night, did you?
Well, actually, yeah, that was one of mine.
Yeah.
When Phoebe goes to, confront Ursula, like, and she's in, like,
she's got the big porn hair.
Yeah, and the buffet outfit.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're doing one now, right? And then someone in the background, we're rolling.
Yeah.
So she, like, stops. She cuts,
well,
goes
she
to the
says,
door.
You're doing porn. And she says, no, I'm not. And then the guy goes, still rolling. And he's like, you're doing one right now.
Yeah.
When Rachel's trying to, like, confirm that it's Ursula in the video and see the tattoo, and she goes, if she just stopped moving, and Chandler, like, defensively says, she's just doing her job.
Yeah. When Ross is talking to Rachel about what happened with her sister, he's like, and that, like, she kissed me, and then I thought about it, and Rachel's, like, getting more and more mad, and she's like, I'll give you something to think about.
That's in, yeah. That's in mine too. I thought it was very funny that when Monica comes home and Chandler's reading Chicken Soup for the Soul, he tries to toss the book under the couch, but there's no back to the couch, so it slides all the way across the floor and lands right at Monica's feet.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Yeah, and he's like, this couch has no back.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny when Joey's like, I'm eating their food. What are you doing here?
Yeah. Again, he's like Kramer.
He is Kramer, yeah.
My last one because I also had, let me give you something to think about. My last one is when Chandler's feeling bad about not crying, and he says, "What happens when we get married and we're up at the altar and I'm all like this?" Just like looks at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think that, like, I cry at weddings, but I don't think I cried during our wedding. I think I was too, like, preoccupied.
Huh. I cried at our wedding.
Well, and also I knew because you have a fear of public speaking.
Yes.
So you didn't want, we did joint vows and I read them. Yes. At your request.
Yes.
So I think I kind of knew I had to hold it together for that.
Yeah.
Because you weren't at my grandma's funeral when I had to read a eulogy and I broke down. Like, so I'd really like worked on keeping it together because I had read a eulogy that I wrote for my grandma and sobbed in the church that I went to midnight mass as a kid. It was very emotional. So I think I was like really in my head, like, keep it together, David.
Wow.
At our wedding.
So you didn't shed a tear when my parents walked me down the aisle? Nothing.
No.
Wow.
Unlike Chandler. No, I was working to keep it together, though. I'm not dead inside. I'm now, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my family was completely sobbing uncontrollably. And then my family
was like Chandler at the altar. Like,
just like enjoying,
having a good time.
Enjoying the service. Yeah. My nephew was just like tears sobbing, my sister sobbing, my parents sobbing as they walk me down the aisle. I'm sobbing.
Yeah, we've laughed about comparing wedding pictures because your family is like losing it and my family is having a very nice
just
time.
Just like very well postured and enjoying a nice event.
It's just how we are.
It's just different, yeah.
We're not WASPs, but we are WASPish.
Yeah. And my family is a little too emotive, I think.
I don't know.
I would say.
I don't know. I think it's fine.
Have we told the story on the pod about when a family member receives money as a gift?
I wanted you to tell it because I didn't know if it was okay to say or not.
I mean, like, when my fam, like, oftentimes will be like a $100 bill and a card. And so,
well, I should say what my family does first. Like,
okay.
If you're at a group gathering.
Yeah.
And you open a card and there's money in it, you know,
mm-hmm.
You like don't show the money to anyone. You close the card. You look, you make eye contact with the person that gave it to you. And you like almost whisper, not just mouth the words like, thank you.
Yeah.
You don't want to, be gaudy showing off that you got cash.
Which is exactly what my family does. As soon as we get the money, we like fan ourselves with it, like rub it on our chest, like pretend to lick it. No, like
your mom literally pretended the 200 bills were like nipple tassels.
Yeah. We couldn't be more like obnoxious and showy about it.
Yeah.
It's a very funny contrast.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, that's all I have for funniest moments. Do you have any more?
Let's see. No.
Okay, let's move on to Friends But Make It Fashion.
Okay.
The return of Monica's Red Cross sweater
Red
that you
Cross
don't
sweater.
Like because of the unfinished hems.
Yes, Red Cross sweater.
But I like those unfinished hems.
Maybe I'm
corny. Maybe I'm retro.
Gunther has a tie with a bulb on it, okay. Like an elongated, like, cartoon bulb.
Yeah. Okay, my only other one, I think this is textbook. I've talked about how, like, part of the reason I think Friends, fashion-wise, has aged better than How I Met Your Mother is because it's gone far enough back in the cycle to be, like, retro chic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think an example of that is when Phoebe goes to see Ursula, her hair. She's got the little ribbons tied back with, mm-hmm. like, purple, like, glittery, like,
mm-hmm.
floral things
like
holding them together.
Butterfly clips?
Yeah, but they looked like flowers, more like butterflies. But yeah, okay. I guess that's, yeah. I think there was a time that would have been, like, so embarrassing. But now I think enough time has passed that I'm like, oh, cool. I like those little purple hair gems.
Yeah.
What did you think of them?
Yeah, I think they're very of the era.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jill loves leather. Every single outfit, she has either leather skirt or leather jacket or leather dress or leather
boots.
Yeah, but
last week when she was wearing leather, it was Rachel's. It was Rachel's slutty outfit.
Yeah.
Remember?
But yeah.
I just want to make sure everyone knows I'm not calling her slutty. That was from the show.
Yeah.
I don't like that word.
Props to the props department. There's a Diet Cola that's like clearly Diet Coke on the table. Also, a bowl of starfruit. No one eats that much starfruit or any starfruit, no. But there's an entire bowl.
Where?
On Monica's table. Wow. Yeah. Starfruit. I mean, it's cute.
Yeah.
But no one, like, picks it up to eat it.
I know.
Also,
how long are you going to leave that out without people eating it? It's going to go bad. You're going to get ants. You want ants?
That's how you get ants. You're not going to get ants from starfruit.
Any kind of fruit you leave out is going to draw
but
ants.
But it's like a citrus. So if you leave like oranges, it's not going to get...
At a certain point,
it's open, yes.
But I'm saying if it decomposes enough, it will open.
Monica would not let anything decompose in her apartment.
All right. That's how you get ants.
Also, Monica at home is... This is like so like 90s, but like drinking from like a plastic water bottle in your home, it just seems so like passé, doesn't it?
No.
I mean, like if you're home, like you don't need to use a plastic water bottle.
Yeah, I guess.
Why would anyone do that?
I guess, yeah, I have a bottle that I use at home.
Yeah, we have a reusable bottles. I'm saying a single use plastic bottle.
In the home.
At home, just like... Crack it open and throw it away. Yeah. That just seems like...
I didn't notice. I don't do that, but it doesn't seem as weird to me.
Okay.
She should get a Brita. They had Britas in
2000, she should get a Brita, or just like take a glass, like fill a glass or get a, you know, like you don't need to use plastic water bottles for yourself. Also, like we drink over a gallon of water a day. Easy. And I think in the 90s, people weren't guzzling as much water as we are now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Since when do we need to carry on these water bottles? I'm trying to be like when you make fun of the Starbucks, me at Starbucks, you know? And I'm like, mocha choke.
You're like, let me get a big coffee. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I don't know the sizes, but that's not because I'm trying to be a dick. I just don't go to Starbucks enough to memorize them.
Yeah.
I always preferred coffee bean and tea leaf out here in
It has Los a better Angeles. Like drip coffee.
Yeah, but I also think I liked that they had tea, even though I don't drink tea
ever.
But it just felt cooler.
Starbucks has tea also. I'm not like shilling for Starbucks.
You know what it was? I think Starbucks, however you feel about their coffee, I think they're like to-go foods are not very good. It's never been that good. Whereas I think Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf actually had good stuff. Because I remember going to get egg salad sandwiches at Coffee Bean more than once.
I've never had any food item at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, but I have had food items at Starbucks.
Yeah, and they're like not that great. Or, like, you order them on the app and you get to the store.
And they're not there.
They don't have them.
Yeah.
That's infuriating.
Yeah.
That happened to us in Vegas recently.
You just get a black coffee at Starbucks and then a muffin. If we're, like, traveling or...
Yeah, I mean, I think I've become less of a muffin guy. I think... When we were in Vegas, you just got me a croissant?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, croissant's better than... A muffin. Muffin, I think, is too... I liked a muffin for a long time, and now it's too heavy for me.
Well, a croissant is just butter.
But it doesn't... It's about the feel.
Yeah.
Muffins are heavy, literally heavy.
Yeah.
A croissant is light as air.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Friends and mothers, what's your coffee... preference? What's your coffee
order? But also, what do you get to eat?
What do you get to eat?
Okay. Coffee chain preference? And coffee chain order.
You know what I like, though, at Starbs is the spinach feta wrap. And then I get a side of sriracha. That's an easy breakfast on the go. That's my order. And then... then I get a venti misto almond milk.
Yeah, I'm a black coffee guy. What's under the umbrella for this episode? You kick it off.
Oh, wow. Ross showing slides of his favorite fossils, like boring people.
Boring Ross, yeah.
Like watching actual things on TV, like they're watching E.T., they talk about Bambi, Phoebe's tragic past. We talk about her mom's death by suicide.
Yeah, that's right.
We talk about Ursula. Yeah. We talk about Dr. Drake Ramore, as you mentioned. Yeah. Let's see. There's like a hilarious joke about being gay because Ross isn't into Jill.
Yeah, but I guess, once again, this is me trying to give the show the benefit of the doubt, you know? I feel like that joke of Jill being like, you didn't want to, I could throw myself at you and you say no, how gay are you?
Yeah.
Is about...
That says more about Jill
being a bad person.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get some of Chandler's past. Like he has a tragic childhood as well.
Yeah. Yeah. At parent day, he got his picture taken with a janitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it.
There's also... I like the long memory of the show, a reference to the time that Chandler made out with Joey's sister.
Yes, yeah.
And that's actually kind of, we didn't say it was in her funny moments, but actually is a funny joke where Joey's like, when Chandler made out with my sister, I was mad at him for like 10 years. And Chandler's like, that was 5 years ago. He's like, yeah, you got five more to go. You want to make it six?
Yeah. But also Joey's like, I didn't know we could date your sister.
Should we take a quick break?
Yes.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're back from our quick break, and we are ready to dive into How I Met Your Mother, Season 6, Episode 14, Last Words. Natalie, take it away.
So we pick up where we left off. Marshall's dad has just passed, and they're going to Minnesota for the funeral. They go to Marshall. Is that Marshall's house or like a funeral home?
My impression was that that was Marshall's house.
That was Marshall's like house. Okay.
That they were there.
They were like doing like a
pre. Normally there's like a reception after.
In a week or.
But, oh yeah. Maybe this could have been the wake,
mm-hmm.
which means maybe it was at a funeral home. No, because they were definitely at the house because they went to the kitchen and Marshall's mom was cooking.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, is.
So I guess, I mean.
Is there a pre-service?
There's a wake the day before, which is usually at the funeral home. And then there's the funeral, which would be at a church, and then you go to the cemetery after.
Okay.
But I guess the way, you know, and then usually after the funeral, there's someone hosts, the. But I guess you could also do that after the wake. You could also host people after a wake. Okay. So maybe this is a post-wake gathering.
It's a good
question. I didn't really think about
in
that.
In Judaism, there's the, like, Shiva pre-funeral, and then the funeral, and then the after party.
Isn't that what, doesn't Junior Soprano call it an after party?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, old. I mean, It doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of it is just kind of like having a good time and like
reminiscing,
sharing memories and, you know, drinking a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely is.
There's some laughter. I think it's cathartic.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all there.
But also realizing, sorry to interrupt, realizing that they're not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Their clergyman wears the collar.
Mm-hmm.
But they call him Reverend, and he has a son. Priests don't have sons. I mean, not supposed to.
Right.
So I'm guessing maybe they're Episcopalian.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, the gang all goes, and his present for this, they all have kind of like what they're going to try to do to help the situation. So Robin is going to be Vice Girl. So she has like everything in her bag that someone might need, as far as like alcohol, chargers, drugs, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Porn even. And Lily's going to be on Judy duty.
Uh-huh.
Judy is Marshall's mom.
Yeah.
And Lily's going to try to get her to like rest and eat and like take care of herself. because she's dealing with so much. And Ted and Barney are trying to make Marshall laugh, like give him some levity in a tough situation. So they start talking about, so the Reverend can't lead the service. His daughter's getting married going to labor.
Yeah.
And his son, Trey Platt, who was Marshall's like high school bully, played by Danny Strong, is going to take over. And he is terrible at this job. Everyone is like, he's like, I don't know this person. I don't know what to say. And everyone is like giving him really like heartfelt memories to use in this, in the speech, in the service. And he's like, yeah, I can't work with any of this. so he's just like a dick the whole time. Marshall is recalling, everyone's like telling stories of, the last words that, they got from their dad, and they're all like very sweet.
Yeah.
And then Marshall's like recalling his, and he thinks at first it's, can I snag that extra pork chop? Plane food is ass.
Yeah.
Cause he's getting on a plane back to Minnesota. And Marshall's like, no, Marshall says no. And then he's like, wait a second. That wasn't the last words. Like they were trying to get a cab downstairs and it was raining. And he asked for an umbrella and then like made some like racist joke about, you know, who has an umbrella, the Koreans down the hall. But in the retelling of it, he says like those kind, resourceful people down the hall might have umbrellas.
The Korean. He says a lot of like positive things, but they're still generalizations and stereotypes about Korean people.
Yes. And it's true, the Kangs did have an umbrella. He did borrow it. But then Marshall realized, wait, that's not the last words. The last words were, you should rent Crocodile Dundee 3. It really holds up. That was the voicemail.
Yeah.
And then everyone's talking about how it's okay. Like last words are a lie. Barney says like some, Barney
Nathan
has
Hale.
Nathan Hale from like,
I regret that I have but one life to live, one life to give for my country.
Yeah, like but he was actually saying, like, I'm peeing my pants because he was being hanged.
Yeah.
Judy is in the kitchen. Lily tries to go and help her, and Judy tells her to leave her alone. I don't want your snobby New York cooking. And she's like, you should be ashamed of yourself. I hate you. And then she goes and takes a nap, and Lily's like, success. I got her to, like, lay down and take a nap. Turns out Marshall does have a voicemail, and he just like is very much struggling. Should he listen? Should he not? He can't listen. And then all of the friends are saying like, it doesn't matter what the actual last words are. You have like a whole lifetime of loving your dad and your dad teaching you things. And you had such a meaningful relationship. It shouldn't matter what the actual last words were. Let's see. Okay. Then we get a little sample of what, if everyone else's dads died, what their last words would be. So Ted's dad is like, his dad's like broing out with him and calls him T-Dog.
And like is going out with Ted's
high school prom date.
Yeah.
Lily gets a call from her dad who's in jail for not paying taxes and wants to borrow money.
Robin's dad. We've only met once before.
Leland Palmer.
But this says, is new.
Yes.
When we met him before, he was played by Eric Braeden.
Yes.
This is Eric Braeden neglected to return as Robin's dad.
Yeah.
I think Neil Patrick Harris talked shit about him on Twitter.
Really? And then,
Ray Wise. So for the rest of the series, Ray Wise will be Robin's dad. But I kept like looking at you like,
I guess because I have a terrible memory, as you know.
So you just like thought
I just
that it was Ray Wise before.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's Leland Palmer again. So Robin's dad is endlessly disappointed with her, but he did remember it was her birthday and he calls her RJ.
Yeah.
Because
remember, he wanted a boy, Eric Braeden, or sorry, Robin's dad. And the whole thing was that he wanted a boy and he treated her like a boy. And she played hockey with the boys. And then when he caught her, like, making out with one of her teammates, he was, like, shocked and disappointed because he's never treated her as a girl or a woman.
Right. And Barney is, we don't know who Barney's father is. Right. So he's like, you don't need to like suffer like this. This is like, you know, pointless to dwell on this. Meanwhile, cousin Daphne is drunk because Robin gave her some alcohol. Turns out she's only 15. Robin has a joke about them being growing them big out here because everyone is like super tall.
Yes. By the way, Caitlin O'Reilly was born in 1985, so she was 25 when this episode was shot. I looked up her name. But I also like that Barney returns her phone number and says, here's your phone number back.
Yes.
So Barney does have a limit.
Yes. Okay. So then Judy says, like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Barney and Ted's tactics of like making Marshall laugh are not working. And he's like, why don't we like kick each other in the nuts? And then like totally unprovoked, Barney kicks Ted in the nuts. doesn't work. So they're at the memorial service. Everyone's telling their stories. Trey Platt says these stories suck. Marshall needs to go outside for a second before he, can go up to the podium and he's like, okay, I'm going to listen to the voicemail. It turns out he heard a pocket dial and he's devastated. All his friends are trying to console him. And again, they're like, you have so many great memories. Don't fixate on this last thing. You know, it just, even if it was Crocodile Dundee or Pork Chop, it doesn't matter. You have a lifetime of beautiful memories with your dad. Turns out, so the whole time we know, the viewer knows that there's going to be something more to the pocket. You just hear
the whole time they're arguing.
Yeah, you hear the static. Rustling. You hear the rustling of the pocket dial. After about 5 minutes of that, his dad gets on and he's like, "Hey, how does my pocket sound? I realize that you were. This is a this 5 minutes I've been calling you. I love you, son."
He says, we had a great time visiting. I love you.
Yeah. And then he also says, if you find that foot fungus cream, like, let me know. My foot fungus is acting up again. But he's like, I love you. I love you was the last words.
Yeah.
So Marshall gets up on the podium and he talks about Crocodile Dundee 3 and he decides to keep that for himself. Judy, meanwhile, says thank you to Lily. I know what you've been up to this whole time. And that's kind of a sweet moment. Okay. And then Marshall, so after the end of it, they're all together. And then Marshall's like, these are my last words to you all if I die. I really love you. I'm going to go drop a deuce, which was funny. And then everyone calls their dad. Calls their dad. And then Barney calls his mom and he says, hey, mom, I'm ready to meet my dad.
Yeah. As we know, the man he knew was Uncle Jerry when he was young.
Yeah.
And the last time he saw him was when he took him to the Natural History Museum and he knocked down a whale.
Right.
So we'll find out more about that.
Yeah.
I have some stray observations I didn't get to.
Yeah.
Some of them are emotional, so I'll save those for the end. Couple things. They repeatedly refer to Crocodile Dundee 3, and there's even a joke where Robin has, I'm taking one of my own funniest moments, that Robin, in her endless purse, she has a copy of Crocodile Dundee 3 on DVD. Now, anyone who knows anything knows that the third Crocodile Dundee movie is called Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Right.
It's not called Crocodile Dundee 3.
Right.
But, anyway, I'll let it slide. I thought, this is almost the funniest moment. You mentioned Judy talking about Lily's food, you know, her New York food, and she says your fancy tofu sushi bagels. But I'm saying, as a Midwesterner, I don't know if anyone would say fancy tofu sushi bagels, but that is how people talk about like food on the coasts, or at least it was growing up. Now you got foodies all over the country. Food Network has done a lot of good things, and a lot of bad things for foodies. What else? There was one other thing that I... No, I guess those are only the only, like, funny ones. I guess I wanted to talk more about being someone who lost his dad at a young age, you know? I don't remember my dad's exact last words to me, but I do remember our last conversation, and it was a good conversation. Because So one of my favorite movies of all time is Barton Fink, and I always loved Barton Fink, and my dad thought it was weird, you know? And then, like, the last time we talked, he was like, I watched Barton Fink the other night. I get it. You're getting, like, emotional. And so he told me he liked Barton Fink now. So that was, like, the last one of the last conversations we had.
Yeah, I love it.
At the post-wake or whatever it is at the beginning, the little trays of sandwiches are very good details. Definitely, I don't know if that's a nationwide thing, but definitely a Midwestern funeral would have little sandwiches. If you remember on Joe Parra Talks With You, when he loses his grandma, he brings little sandwiches and then kind of kicks himself or feels guilty about not putting more thought into the like post-funeral food.
Yeah.
But like Joe Firestone tells him, it's okay, you did plenty. So the little sandwiches definitely were a nice touch. I also, you're like getting emotional now. I'm getting emotional now. We were both very emotional at the end.
Yeah.
Obviously, when we finally hear Marvin's voice, that's a big part of it. But the part that sets me off is weird because it doesn't apply to you and me. But Marshall says, when he's like ranting about how unfair it is to lose his dad, and he says to Lily, he'll never meet our kids.
Yeah.
Now, you and I don't have kids.
Yeah.
But the fact that my dad never met you is, it hurts. It's a very sore thing for me. So that's the moment that I started tearing up and cried pretty much through the rest of the episode. Now we're both like tearing up again.
And also just like seeing the entire gang like crying for Marshall and also for themselves and just the devastation of losing someone you love, you know, and they all can relate in one way or another. And like, you know, Barney's, they're all crying and it's like a very emotional episode. It's very sweet.
Yeah. Okay. That's it then. Let's move on to funniest moments. Weirdly, I mean, you go first. Sorry. It's your, this is your segment.
Most of the things that I thought were funny were like Robin's storyline of being the vice girl. So her being read at Shawshank.
Yeah.
Like I've been known to locate a few items from time to time. So people at this like service are coming up to her like, I need some pills. I need something to cheer me up. I need, you know, and she's helping everyone with it. Even, like phone chargers.
Yeah.
Porn, Crocodile like I said,
Dundee 3.
Crocodile
Dundee 3. That's basically what I was going to say, is that this is a great episode. It's not the funniest episode.
No.
Robin is kind of definitely the funniest through line, and that's, so I,
but also,
you know, like, I both have kind of the same thing.
I have more from that. So it's like when the 15-year-old cousin comes up to her, she says, what you need, mama? And then to Lily, like after knowingly, like, drugging her with some strange pill, she says, gotta stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Ted at one point calls her drug dealer from the 80s, from an 80s after school special. Yeah. Also, what I thought was funny was, so Ted and Barney are trying to like show Marshall these like YouTube clips of like people like getting hurt. And then they like set up the video and like show him. And every time Ted says, let's see what happens next. As if like he doesn't know what's going to happen next.
That is funny.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I had.
Let's talk about fashion.
What do you got?
I liked everyone's funeral fashion. Robin looked great.
That's what I have. I have funeral ladies.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah, Robin looked great. Lily looked pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're simple black dresses. Although Lily's had like a lace front.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I have. Under the Umbrella?
Okay, we have quite a few here.
Well, yeah, I'll go first, because I'm supposed to for this. The only thing I really want to mention, I don't know if you even noticed it so fast, but then you're a pretty observant viewer.
Not so much.
When Marshall is going on that ramp before we hear the dad's voice, when we're just hearing the pocket rustling, and he's saying, he was my hero, he was my teacher, and he's, getting emotional. But then he says, he was my best friend. I don't know if you noticed, the camera cuts to Barney and Ted, but they don't.
Oh, I didn't catch
there's
that.
No, they don't react or anything.
Yeah.
But it is like, this is the one time in the history of the show that someone has said someone is their best friend and there's been no protests from anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marshall says repeatedly lawyered.
Yeah.
After everyone like imagines the last words from their fathers. Judy calls Lily a Kansas City whore. We can't get through an episode of this show without someone calling someone a whore or a slut. Also, Judy is like drinking or eating this, like, I don't know if it's like ambrosia salad, but it's like a big vat of like a creamy, gelatinous, fruity.
Yeah. Very Midwestern. Yeah.
Midwest bowl. Let's see. Oh, just under the umbrella is an umbrella.
That's true. There is an umbrella. Yeah. I forgot to mention, like, I mentioned Bill Fagerback and Susie Plaxton, but Marshall's brothers are always played by the same actors, too. Marcus and Marvin Jr., but I don't have their names in front of me right now, but they show up in this episode, and they're both good.
Yeah.
You got any similarities between the two episodes we watched today?
Oh, quite a few.
Okay, I have a couple. Okay,
so just last week's episode, Phoebe has a purse of like the most random things.
Oh my God, that's right.
Like a goldfish and...
One shoe and a hard-boiled egg. Yeah.
Yes. Let's see. Okay.
We didn't talk about did you mention when you mentioned the things in Robin's purse that she has... firecrackers for some reason.
Yeah, I guess to lighten the mood.
Yeah,
but a little
or provide a distraction.
Yes Okay, so in both these episodes I think the most glaring theme is like trying to get friends to emote, whether it's like by laughter or with tears.
Yeah, making Chandler cry,
making Chandler cry,
Marshall
yeah
laugh. All right, didn't I think about that?
So also like yes, crying, you know, like Chandler crying and the full gang crying. Also, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
The Buffy like porn parody, and then Allison Hannigan and Danny Strong, a little reunion.
Yeah, Jonathan.
Yeah.
From Buffy. Yeah, you took all mine. Yeah, I didn't know if you were gonna do the Buffy connection. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, like porn. Robin has some porn in her bag, and Phoebe's in a porn. Also, videos. Well, discs or video. So in Friends, it's a video cassette of the era, and then Crocodile Dundee is on disc. But bringing home a video or, you know, watching a video. Okay. Also, so in Friends, they talk about Bambi, and Marshall talks about a deer on a path, on a hike.
Right. That's true. No, it's not Marshall. It's either Marvin Jr. or Marcus.
Okay.
It's one of the brothers.
They're telling a story about a deer on the path.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay. Should we play favorites?
Yeah.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. Like I said, normally the episode that makes me laugh more is the winner, but... This How I Met Your Mother made me cry, so it wins for that. Should we catch up on our correspondence that we finally have?
Yes, we should.
So there's only a few here. So Alex says, Natalie actually noticing the countdown on Bad News on a first watch is really good. Pretty sure I didn't.
Oh, so, wow. Okay. Because I thought that I was,
because you noticed the numbers, but
I
didn't notice
the numbers,
that it was
I didn't
a countdown.
Piece together
but still,
it was a countdown.
You noticed it, yeah. And then, so that's Alex. Now we got a bunch from our friend Steph, who is back from vacation and has caught up on correspondence.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much.
I was worried we lost her.
She says, so this is going way back, because I mentioned a while back trying to find for our cookbooks, like, wine-related bookends that aren't corny.
Yes.
And she also couldn't find any wine-related bookends that aren't corny, but she found some bookends she thought that I might like, but says, as she said, while trying to find wine bookends, I came across this. The missus probably wouldn't approve.
Let's see.
And I love this.
That's fun.
It's Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
That's fun. I do.
But kind of like tasteful, because it's just like silhouettes. So like, I guess as Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner bookends go.
Yeah.
They're tasteful.
They are tasteful, yes. I tend to avoid IP in my
I think I'm with you. Yeah, decor. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that either. Although I've said, like, I don't think I've said this on the podcast. I've said to you, if there were any, like, IP or any character ever that I were going to get tattooed on my body, mm-hmm. it would be the Roadrunner.
Okay.
He's the coolest. This is my hot take, and this is as a Looney Tunes super fan.
Yeah,
you hot are. Take, Roadrunner, even cooler than Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I never liked Bugs.
Oh, well, Bugs is very, very cool. But when I told you I liked the Roadrunner, you said you thought he was mean and you felt bad for Wile E. Coyote. Yeah. I'm like, you know what
I think the coyote is my favorite. The coyote
wants to eat the Roadrunner.
It's natural. That's what coyotes do.
And then Steph couldn't stop and sent me another set of bookends that look like an old-timey film projector.
Okay. That's very up your alley.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Then Steph says, oh, shit. Wait. That one's about Battleship Retention. But she did send one more. She said, because we talked before these last two How Many Mother episodes, which we both loved.
Yeah.
We had been talking about it, kind of have a bad stretch of episodes there.
Yeah.
And she said, I feel like How I Met Your Mother started sending in the B-team writers about this time, and I think I stopped watching. Mm. It's just going around in circles. And that I think that's something that happens with shows as they drag on, as they start repeating themselves, especially a show like How I Met Your Mother, which is supposed to be working toward a clear end game, mm-hmm. but the longer that the more they keep getting renewed, the more they do have to just, like, go around in circles to stall, you know? So that's part of why the show does get worse. And then Steph says that empty belt loops seemed to be acceptable in the 90s. And I feel like a lot of people still treat them as acceptable today. Yeah. I'm just not a big fan of empty belt loops myself, personally. No judgment on anybody else. That's our correspondence. Thank you so much for corresponding.
Yes. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Steph.
Yeah, and you can... Well, you'll get more, too, but... Yeah, we'll address the calls to action at the end. So let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce, and this is a segment called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world in the days that these episodes aired. So, Friends, Season 6, Episode 14, the one where Chandler can't cry, air on Thursday, February 10th, the year 2000. Two things of note happened this day.
Okay.
One, Jim Varney, best known as Ernest P. Worrell, but also he was in the Beverly Hillbillies movie. He played a prince on Roseanne at one point.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away on this day. And then Yara Shahidi, the actress who's the daughter on Blackish, who got her own spinoff, Grownish. She's also in a movie called The Sun Is Also a Star, alongside Charles Melton, who is now getting a lot of attention for his huge supporting role in May, December.
Oh, right.
She was born on this day.
Wow.
Raising the question, is Yara Shahidi the reincarnated spirit of Jim Varney?
So, yes, obviously.
Okay. Top five songs in the U.S., on this day. Top five songs in the U.S., not the U.K. Okay. Number five, a song called Smooth by Santana. At number four, Montel Jordan, Get It On Tonight. Number three, Christina Aguilera, What a Girl Wants, What a Girl Needs. Number two, Mariah Carey, Thank God I Found You. And at number one, Savage Garden, I knew I loved you before I met you. I think I dreamed you. Season 6, Episode 14 of How I Met Your Mother, Last Words, aired on Monday, January 17th, 2011. And I looked up, it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I looked up what else happened, and I feel like I am forgetting. I did this. It's been a long day. This morning I looked this up, and I'm trying to remember what I thought was interesting. There was a glitch in a Japanese train line's computers that halted all bullet trains in northern Japan for 75 minutes. Yeah, I thought I had something interesting, but I guess just like the fact that it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, maybe, is what I had.
Yeah.
Huh. Could have sworn I looked up something else, but it's gone now. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Trains stopped for 75 minutes in Japan.
Okay.
Top five songs in the U.S. on this day. Number five, Pink, Raise Your Glass. At number two, Kesha, We Are Who We Are. At number three, Rihanna, What's My Name? Na-na. What's My Name? At number two, Katy Perry, Baby, I'm a firework. Much like Robin and her stash. And at number one, Grenade by Bruno Mars. Moving on to our final segment. It's called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both episodes of the show, armed only with the knowledge of the episode's titles. First, let's see how we did on last week's predictions. I said Monica tries to get Chandler to cry to prove that he's a real boy with real emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did it. I tied it up.
Yeah.
You were very close, but no cigar. You said, Marshall's dad's last words are revealed. You got that part. Mm-hmm. But then you said, and interpreted differently by different people.
Well.
Hmm?
I feel like it's a point, but yeah, you're right.
No, yeah, I don't think it's a point.
Okay.
If you had said, yeah, no, it's not a point. Unless, I mean, if the friends and mothers want to argue for it being a point, they can do so. Now I'm going to look up the titles for the next week's episodes, but I'm going to need you to vamp for a second. You're always so surprised.
Family style lasagna. Mini quiche. Duo. Apple crumble pie. Body butter trio. Scandinavian tidings. Jingle jangle. Milk chocolate rondos. Happy holidays dog treats. Shimmering candy cane body butter.
Okay. I'm going to need a judgment call here. Yeah. Okay. We only do half hours at a time. Okay. So season 6, episode 15 of Friends is called The One That Could Have Been, part 1.
Okay.
I haven't looked up. I'm going to have to look it up on HBO Max to see if it's, because it aired, I think, on the same night, but I don't know if it's a 1 hour or if it's two. So let me look up that real quick.
Okay.
To see if I'm supposed to.
Oh, sorry.
Don't spill.
It's empty.
Don't go spilling on our. Okay. Okay. Yeah, it is two separate episodes. So that's very exciting. Because that means at the end of season 6, we get one Mystery Diners episode.
I could name one friend and mother who was excited about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And us.
Yes, and us. Okay, so The One That Could Have Been, part 1. I'm going to say that we do a sliding doors type thing.
Okay.
Where we imagine what the present would be like if. I should say something specific. What would the present be like if Ross married Emily?
Okay.
Okay, we slide doors to see what things would be like if Ross actually said Emily's name at the, well, I'm going to say in the condemned cathedral. Okay, so that's what I'm going to say is we're going to see this is what could have been if.
Yeah, and this week would be kind of a good lead up because we're reminded like, hey, remember Ross and Rachel? Remember the whole point of this whole thing is a little reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. Although here's, okay, when we watch it on HBO Max, you know, as soon as the episode ends, we get like, the next episode, there's like a still and a name and a description that I'm always like very quick to not look at, and I do the
spoilery.
Same.
Yeah.
But I think, I feel like Gary Marshall is in this episode. I don't know if that's true or not, but I feel like I saw Rachel and Gary Marshall. Gary Marshall could be in the episode, I guess. It would make sense for the time. Season 6, episode 15 of How I Met Your Mother is called Oh Honey.
Oh Honey. Okay. So, Oh Honey. Okay, so.
Or what, I should probably say it like, oh, honey. Oh, honey.
Okay.
That's kind of how, like.
Okay. So. Okay. So we're going to get a little more levity because the last two episodes have been very, very sad.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very jokey, fun, funny episode about. Okay. Who is it going to be about? So it's going to be like. Like a woman falling for Barney.
Are you asking me?
Okay, a girl. Can I say like a girl falling for either Ted or Barney?
No, we've
and the girls
established that you have to say. You have to like narrow it down to one cast member. That's been our rule since season one.
But yours are so easy. It's like the one where Chandler cries. Oh, Chandler cries.
And yet you always win. You're a sore winner is what you are.
Ugh.
It's like how you used to do, because my friends and I do a fantasy movie award season where we pick like, here's who I have for supporting actor. Here's who I have for cinematography and original screenplay and all of that. And we see how many points we get. You know, we like, we assign certain number of points to nominations and win certain organizations, and you used to play with us, and then you quit because you complained about how bad you are.
Yeah.
Which, what does that mean to me? Because you beat me every year.
Yeah.
Sore winner.
Okay. So a girl is going to fall for Barney's charms.
Okay.
And our gals try to talk some sense into her.
Okay. Okay, a poor young lass falls under Barney's spell.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Robin and Lily try to talk some sense into her.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. That's the episode then. We've recapped both episodes. We've had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great time.
We're tears.
We had some
laughter.
We had some laughs. We had some tears, literally. You can find this podcast wherever you found it. You've already proven that you're able to do that, and congratulations. It means a lot.
Yeah.
But also, you can find a post for every episode at battleshipretention.com. That's where you can leave a comment. That's one way you can correspond with us. You can also email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, like Alex did, at Davey Pretension, or on Blue Sky, as Steph did, at Davey Pretension. And check out my other podcast, which Natalie mentioned earlier. It's called Battleship Pretension. We talk about movies. This time of year, we're talking a lot about the best movies of the year that was. So it's a good place to jump in, actually, with our podcast is the beginning of the year. So that's where you can find me Natalie, where do you want people to find you on the internet?
I don't, as you know. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers. Give us 5 stars if you open up the app of choice.
Yeah.
And then if you think we don't deserve 5 stars, let us know why. Let us know your coffee order.
Yeah, coffee chain.
Coffee chain. Do you order food there? And what is it?
Yeah.
What is...
Do you know... Caribou Coffee, uh-huh. which I used to go to in Chicago.
It's like an airport.
Kind well, of. Maybe to us it is. Yeah. But in Chicago, they're like, at least the time, okay. they're all over the place. They had a bunch of cups with inspiring messages on them. They released in early 2020.
Really?
One of which was resist the urge to remain indoors.
Oh, no.
Right at the beginning of COVID, they had to like take all these coffee cups off the shelf.
Yikes. Also, let us know, did you shed a tear during this episode? This is a safe space. We sure did. So let us know if you...
And don't forget our calls to action from last week. Does Wheatus please us? Wither Cheryl Hines. What do you have useless knowledge of? And then something about Bruno Mars? Do you like Bruno Mars, I guess?
Is there Cheryl Hines? Oh,
because Cheryl Hines is in
was
the...
Was she... Yes, was she actually...
She's in
she was
the
credited,
cast list. And yes. I found a still of her and Joey.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't in the episode we watched. Okay.
Okay. Until next time, we'll be at Shawshank Penitentiary.